Chapter 101. There's no more story. Apostrophe, Agnes had listened at first with suspended breath. Her color still came and went, but she breathed more freely. I thought I knew why. I thought she had had some fear that her unhappy father might be in some way to blame for what had happened. My aunt took her hand in hers and laughed. Is that all? ? Repeated my aunt. Why, yes, that's all, except, and she lived happy ever afterwards. Perhaps I may add that of Betsy yet, one of these days. Now, Agnes, you have a wise head. So have you, Trot, in some things, though I can't compliment you always as, and here my aunt shook her own at me, with an energy peculiar to herself. What's to be done? Here's the cottage. Taking one time with another will produce, say, £70 a year. I think we may safely put it down at that. Well, that's all we've got, said my aunt, with whom it was an idiosyncrasy, as it is with some horses, to stop very short when she appeared to be in a fair way of going on for a long while. Then, said my aunt, after a rest, there's Dick. He's good for £100 a year, but of course, that must be expended on himself. I would sooner send him away, though I know I am the only person who appreciates him, than have him, and not spend his money on himself. How can Trot and I do best, upon our means? What do you say, Agnes? I say, and, I interposed, that I must do something. Go for a soldier, do you mean? Returned my aunt, alarmed, or go to sea. I won't hear of it. You are to be a proctor. We're not going to have any knockings on the head in this family, if you please, sir. I was about to explain that I was not desirous of introducing that mode of provision into the family when Agnes inquired if my rooms were held for any long term. You come to the point, my dear, said my aunt. They are not to be got rid of, for 6 months at least, unless they could be underlet, and that I don't believe. The last man died here. 5 people out of 6 would die of course of that woman in nankeen with the flannel petticoat. I have a little ready money, and I agree with you, the best thing we can do, is, to live the term out here, and get a bedroom hard by. I thought it my duty to hint at the discomfort my aunt would sustain from living in a continual state of guerrilla warfare with Mrs. Krupp, but she disposed of that objection summarily by declaring that, on the first demonstration of hostilities, she was prepared to astonish Mrs. Krupp for the whole remainder of her natural life. I have been thinking, Trotwood, said Agnes, diffidently, that if you had time, I have a good deal of time, Agnes. I am always disengaged after 4 or 5 o'clock, and I have time early in the morning. In one way and another, said I, conscious of reddening a little as I thought of the hours and hours I had devoted to fagging about town, and to and fro upon the Norwood Road, I have abundance of time. I know you would not mind, said Agnes, coming to me, and speaking in a low voice, so full of sweet and hopeful consideration, that I hear it now, the duties of a secretary. Mind, my dear Agnes? Continued Agnes, Dr. Strong has acted on his intention of retiring, and has come to live in London. And he asked Papa, I know, if he could recommend him one. Don't you think he would rather have his favorite old pupil near him than anybody else? Dear Agnes. Said one. What should I do without you? You are always my good angel. I told you so. I never think of you in any other light. Agnes answered with her pleasant laugh, that one good angel, meaning Dora, was enough, and went on to remind me that the doctor had been used to occupy himself in his study early in the morning and in the evening, and that probably my leisure would suit his requirements very well. I was scarcely more delighted with the prospect of earning my own bread than with the hope of earning it under my old master. In short, acting on the advice of Agnes, I sat down and wrote a letter to the doctor, stating my object and appointing to call on him next day at 10 in the forenoon. This I addressed to Highgate, for in that place, so memorable to me, he lived and went and posted myself, without losing a minute. Wherever Agnes was, some agreeable token of her noiseless presence seemed inseparable from the place. When I came back, I found my aunt's birds hanging, just as they had hung, so long in the parlor window of the cottage, and my easy chair imitating my aunt's much easier chair in its position at the open window, and even the round green fan, which my aunt had brought away with her, screwed onto the windowsill. I knew who had done all this, by its seeming to have quietly done itself, and I should have known in a moment who had arranged my neglected books in the old order of my school days, even if I had supposed Agnes to be miles away, instead of seeing her busy with them, and smiling at the disorder into which they had fallen. My aunt was quite gracious on the subject of the Thames. It really did look very well with the sun upon it, though not like the sea before the cottage, but she could not relent towards the London smoke, which, she said, peppered everything. A complete revolution, in which Peggotty bore a prominent part, was being effected in every corner of my rooms, in regard of this pepper. And I was looking on, thinking how little even Peggotty seemed to do with a good deal of bustle, and how much Agnes did without any bustle at all, when a knock came at the door. "I think," said Agnes, turning pale, "it's Papa. He promised me that he would come." I opened the door, and admitted, not only Mr. Wickfield, but Uriah Heep. I had not seen Mr. Wickfield for some time. I was prepared for a great change in him, after what I had heard from Agnes, but his appearance shocked me. It was not that he looked many years older, though still dressed with the old scrupulous cleanliness, or that there was an unwholesome ruddiness upon his face, or that his eyes were full and bloodshot, or that there was a nervous trembling in his hand, the cause of which I knew, and had for some years seen at work. It was not that he had lost his good looks, or his old bearing of a gentleman, for that he had not, but the thing that struck me most was, that with the evidences of his native superiority still upon him, he should submit himself to that crawling impersonation of meanness, Uriah Heep. The reversal of the two natures, in their relative positions, Uriah's of power and Mr. Wickfield's of dependence, was a sight more painful to me than I can express. If I had seen an ape taking command of a man, I should hardly have thought it a more degrading spectacle. He appeared to be only too conscious of it himself. When he came in, he stood still, and with his head bowed, as if he felt it. This was only for a moment, for Agnes softly said to him, "Papa, here is Miss Trotwood and Trotwood, whom you have not seen for a long while." And then he approached, and constrainedly gave my aunt his hand, and shook hands more cordially with me. In the moment's pause I speak of, I saw Uriah's countenance form itself into a most ill-favored smile. Agnes saw it too, I think, for she shrank from him. What my aunt saw, or did not see, I defy the science of physiognomy to have made out, without her own consent. I believe there never was anybody with such an imperturbable countenance when she chose. Her face might have been a dead wall on the occasion in question, for any light it threw upon her thoughts, until she broke silence with her usual abruptness. "Well, Wickfield," said my aunt, and he looked up at her for the first time. "I have been telling your daughter how well I have been disposing of my money for myself, because I couldn't trust it to you, as you were growing rusty in business matters. We have been taking counsel together, and getting on very well, all things considered. Agnes is worth the whole firm, in my opinion." "If I may humbly make the remark," said Uriah Heep, with a writhe, "I fully agree with Miss Betsy Trotwood, and should be only too happy if Miss Agnes was a partner. apostrophe, you're a partner yourself. You know, apostrophe returned my aunt, and that's about enough for you, I expect. How do you find yourself, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, an acknowledgement of this question, addressed to him with extraordinary curtness. Mr. Heap, uncomfortably clutching the blue bag he carried, replied that he was pretty well. He thanked my aunt, and hoped she was the same. And you, master, I should say, Mr. Copperfield, apostrophe, pursued Uriah. I hope I see you well. I am rejoiced to see you, Mr. Copperfield, even under present circumstances. Apostrophe, I believed that, for he seemed to relish them very much. Present circumstances is not what your friends would wish for you, Mr. Copperfield, but it isn't money makes the man. It's I am really unequal with my humble powers to express what it is, apostrophe, said Uriah, with a fawning jerk, but it isn't money. Apostrophe, apostrophe, here he shook hands with me. Not in the common way, but standing at a good distance from me, and lifting my hand up and down like a pump handle, that he was a little afraid of. And how do you think we are looking, Master Copperfield, I should say, Mr. Apostrophe, apostrophe, fond Uriah. Don't you find Mr. Wickfield blooming, sir? Ears don't tell much in our firm, Master Copperfield, except in raising up the humble, namely, mother and self, and in developing, apostrophe, he added, as an afterthought, the beautiful, namely, Miss Agnes. Apostrophe, he jerked himself about, after this compliment, in such an intolerable manner, that my aunt, who had sat looking straight at him, lost all patience. Deuce take the man. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said my aunt, sternly, what's he about? Don't be galvanic, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I ask your pardon, Miss Trotwood. Apostrophe, returned Uriah, I'm aware you're nervous. Apostrophe, go along with you, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said my aunt, anything but appeased. Don't presume to say so. I am nothing of the sort. If you're an eel, sir, conduct yourself like one. If you're a man, control your limbs, sir. Good God! Apostrophe, said my aunt, with great indignation, I am not going to be serpentined and corkscrewed out of my senses. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Heap was rather abashed, as most people might have been, by this explosion, which derived great additional force from the indignant manner in which my aunt afterwards moved in her chair, and shook her head, as if she were making snaps or bounces at him. But he said to me aside in a meek voice, I am well aware, Master Copperfield, that Miss Trotwood, though an excellent lady, has a quick temper. Indeed, I think I had the pleasure of knowing her, when I was a humble clerk, before you did, Master Copperfield, and it's only natural, I am sure, that it should be made quicker by present circumstances. The wonder is, that it isn't much worse. I only called to say that, if there was anything we could do, in present circumstances, Mother herself, or Wickfield and Heap, we should be really glad. I may go so far? Apostrophe, said Uriah, with a sickly smile at his partner. Uriah Heap, apostrophe, said Mr. Wickfield, in a monotonous forced way, is active in the business, Trotwood. What he says, I quite concur in. You know I had an old interest in you. Apart from that, what Uriah says I quite concur in. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, what a reward it is, apostrophe, said Uriah, drawing up one leg, at the risk of bringing down upon himself another visitation from my aunt, to be so trusted in. But I hope I am able to do something to relieve him from the fatigues of business, Master Copperfield. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Uriah Heep is a great relief to me, apostrophe, said Mr. Wickfield, in the same dull voice. It's a load off my mind, Trotwood, to have such a partner. Apostrophe, the Red Fox made him say all this, I knew, to exhibit him to me in the light he had indicated on the night when he poisoned my rest. I saw the same ill-favored smile upon his face again, and saw how he watched me. You are not going, Papa? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Agnes, anxiously. Will you not walk back with Trotwood and me? He would have looked to Uriah, I believe, before replying, if that were he had not anticipated him. I am bespoke myself, said Uriah, on business. Otherwise I should have been happy to have kept with my friends. But I leave my partner to represent the firm. Miss Agnes, ever yours. I wish you good day, Master Copperfield, and leave my humble respects for Miss Betsy Trotwood. With those words, he retired, kissing his great hand, and leering at us like a mask. We sat there, talking about our pleasant old Canterbury days, an hour or two. Mr. Wickfield, left to Agnes, soon became more like his former self, though there was a settled depression upon him, which he never shook off. For all that, he brightened, and had an evident pleasure in hearing us recall the little incidents of our old life, many of which he remembered very well. He said it was like those times, to be alone with Agnes and me again, and he wished to heaven they had never changed. I am sure there was an influence in the placid face of Agnes, and in the very touch of her hand upon his arm, that did wonders for him. My aunt, who was busy nearly all this while with Peggotty, in the inner room, would not accompany us to the place where they were staying, but insisted on my going, and I went. We dined together. After dinner, Agnes sat beside him, as of old, and poured out his wine. He took what she gave him, and no more like a child, and we all three sat together at a window as the evening gathered in. When it was almost dark, he lay down on a sofa, Agnes pillowing his head and bending over him a little while, and when she came back to the window, it was not so dark, but I could see tears glittering in her eyes. I pray heaven that I never may forget the dear girl in her love and truth, at that time of my life. For if I should, I must be drawing near the end, and then I would desire to remember her best. She filled my heart with such good resolutions, strengthened my weakness so, by her example, so directed I know not how, she was too modest and gentle to advise me in many words the wandering ardor and unsettled purpose within me, that all the little good I have done, and all the harm I have forborne, I solemnly believe I may refer to her. And how she spoke to me of Dora, sitting at the window in the dark, listened to my praises of her, praised again, and round the little fairy figure shed some glimpses of her own pure light, that made it yet more precious and more innocent to me. Oh, Agnes, sister of my boyhood, if I had known then what I knew long afterwards. There was a beggar in the street when I went down, and as I turned my head towards the window, thinking of her calm seraphic eyes, he made me start by muttering, as if he were an echo of the morning, "Blind, blind, blind." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.